You are listening to Reverend Dr. Rob White from Athens Universal Life Church.
Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Rob White here with AULC Ministries. This is our Good Friday message. And a couple of weeks ago, we did a message that was called The Last Seven Words. And today, this is a follow-up on that. This is actually called The Eighth Word. It comes from Mark 15:37, which says, "But Jesus let out a loud cry and breathed his last. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his words." Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we get started here, and then we'll get on with our Good Friday message. If you would join me, please. Heavenly Father, we come today, we're asking that you be with us on this Good Friday to remember just exactly why you made the sacrifice and the things that you did for us. And as we go into our Easter weekend, that you'll be with us each and every day as we follow your footsteps to the cross and your resurrection, and you be with us each and every day. Lord, bless us and keep us. We just ask that you be with us during this time of coronavirus, that you'll keep us healthy, you'll keep us safe, and you'll just be with us, Lord, and let us know that you are there with us each and every day. We ask this in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, as you can see, our sermon today is set in the context of the last seven words. Like I said, a couple of weeks ago, I did that particular sermon. Now, I've always found the last seven words inspiring and a fitting honor to Jesus' sacrifice and remembering the price that he paid for our sins. Now, the last seven words remind us of how Jesus suffered the humiliation of an agonizing death in order that we might share in the glory of his resurrection, the promise of eternal life. Now, we need to hold on to the last seven words and rehearse them often, but we need to add to them another word from the cross, an eighth word, if you will. That's the word of silence. For after the shouting of the angry mob was quieted and the groaning of pain and agony had ceased, after the weeping of the loved ones had mellowed into whimpers and the body was anointed and wrapped and laid in that cold, dark tomb, there was silence. Now, can you imagine the silence of the tomb? Can you even fathom the loneliness and the loss and the despair that this silence represents? The hopes of the faithful were consumed by the awesome stillness of that moment. Now, we all know how disturbing silence can be. It arouses feelings of emptiness and void, and our first impulse is just to fill the void with words, any words, for we are unaccustomed to silence. It makes us uncomfortable. In these days of sheltering in place and self-quarantine and the governor's stay-at-home executive order, even our homes can become a place of emptiness and void. If we're alone for any length of time, we unthinkably just turn on the TV, or we'll turn on the radio, or we'll listen to a CD or a DVD. We are something that we're filling that void. If we're at home with another person, we tend to strike up a conversation. Even if we sit with that person in silence, whether it's your best friend or your spouse or a stranger, it makes us restless and uneasy. And so to dispel the silence, we speak. Even if we have nothing to say, we talk. It's little wonder that in our hurried, harried, hectic world of noise and strife, we have very little silence. We're inundated by words, and the very preponderance of words can numb our senses and strife and stifle our ability to listen. In his book, The Way of the Heart, Henri Nguyen writes this. He says, Words have lost their creative power. Their limitless multiplication has made us lose confidence in words and causes us to think they are just words. Teachers speak to students, but the students often emerge from the experience with the feeling of they are just words. Preachers preach their sermons week after week, but their parishioners remain the same and think they are just words. Politicians, businessmen, celebrities, and even the Pope give speeches, but those who listen say they are just words. By contrast, Nguyen goes on to say, the Word of God is born out of the eternal silence of God, for silence is the home of the Word. Silence gives strength and fruitfulness to the Word. We can even say that words are meant to disclose the mystery of the silence from which they come. Nguyen is not the first to discover the power of silence. This theme reoccurs throughout the ages. Centuries before, the psalmist wrote, "Be still and know that I am God." Even contemporary songwriters like Simon and Garfunkel knew of this awesome reality when they sang the Song of Silence. In the midst of the myriad of words that bombard our ears, perhaps the very word we need to hear most is the word of silence. We've all experienced it at one time or another. Like when two lovers gaze deeply into each other's eyes, there are moments when words are merely noisy distractions, offering nothing to what has already been said. Or when lifelong friends stand together over the grave of a dear departed loved one, at such times words just simply get in the way. Surely this is what Paul was getting at when he wrote, "The Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which can't be uttered." Romans 8:26. Speaking of silence, at where I work, half of the people are working from home. We've got this large building where we're used to having the hustle and bustle of work and words every day. Now we walk around the building, there's only a handful of us there, and there's this deep silence. It's almost nice, but still we are used to the hustle and bustle and the hurrying around and the words and going to meetings and all this. None of that is happening right now because the building is empty. We are silent there. So we're getting a little bit of peace, but it's coming at a price. Now we tend to think that if our words ran out, we'd all lose hope. But the opposite is true, for when we have said all that we know to say, there's yet another word to be spoken, and it's that word of silence. Perhaps silence is God's final word, for silence is more than the absence of sound. True silence has substance, and in that substance, presence. And it's from those depths of silence, as we stand in awe before the presence of God, that faith is born. It happened to the disciples as they waited outside the tomb, and it can happen to us too. And so on this Good Friday, as you reflect upon the passion and death of Jesus, as you're confronted anew with the reality of your own sin and death, if you're willing to say nothing and instead be embraced with the word of silence, who knows? Perhaps you too shall experience the triumph of his crucifixion and share in the glory of his resurrection to eternal life. That's our Lord's message for this Good Friday. I hope that you got a blessing out of it. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Even though this is short like it should be, your words of wisdom, things we need to hear, things we need to ponder, things we need to remember. And we thank you for that, Lord. We just ask that as we go through our weekend, you'll be with us through Sunday morning when we once again experience your resurrection. And we just ask, Lord, that you be with us. Help us to always remember why you did what you did and who you did it for. We just ask this in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. Go out this week, be a blessing and be blessed, because the more you're a blessing, the more you will be blessed. Thank you all for watching. Tune in again on Sunday morning for our Easter service. We will see you then. Thank you.